The U.S. strikes a mini deal with China. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio. Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross announced that the U.S. and China have reached a deal. A deal to open up each other's markets a little more to one another. Make it easier to buy and sell certain goods and services to each other. Joining us now is the BBC's economics correspondent, Andrew Walker. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, Sabri.
Can you tell me more about which industries in the U.S. and China are going to benefit from this specifically?
American beef farmers and the businesses that are involved in actually exporting the stuff, Chinese chicken farmers, I suppose, natural gas exports, some of the financial services industries. We're looking at American credit rating agencies and some Chinese banks, but it's very specific. It's not really a general opening up across the board of the financial sector.
Yeah, and the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, among others, has been very lukewarm on this. They've said, you know what, we've heard this kind of thing before. Is there any reason to believe this might not be, as you say, a very big step forward?
There are plenty of reasons for thinking it's not a very big step forward. For one example, just look at the sheer quantity of stuff there is in the agreement. I've printed it out and it runs to about 1.5 pages. If you look at the free trade agreement between the European Union and Canada, it's a couple of thousand pages. So it's a very focused agreement on very specific areas, and I'm sure that the businesses that are affected by it will welcome the opportunity, but I don't see it transforming US-China trade relationships.
All right, the BBC's economics correspondent Andrew Walker, thank you so much.
My pleasure, Sabri.
And let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is up 0.1%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down in the 0.2% range, with the Dow future down 35 points. The 10-year Treasury yield is down at 2.38%. For a while now, people have been comparing the market for car loans to the mortgage lending crisis of 2008. The similarity is in the growing volume of riskier subprime loans. Now we can throw in another nasty common thread, increasing rates of default. As Marketplace's Adam Allington tells us, lenders are starting to get a little worried.
Subprime lending has been big business in recent years, says Melinda Zabritsky, director of automotive finance at Experian. But as delinquencies have started rising, she says the big national lenders are tightening standards.
Probably in the next 2 to 3 quarters, I would expect to see delinquencies start tapering off.
But even as the big banks retreat from subprime lending, other companies are jumping in.
Auto finance companies, which are normally state regulated, have jumped in to fill the void.
Chris Kukla is an executive vice president at the Center for Responsible Lending. He says there are other similarities to the housing bust, including a kind of layering of risky loan terms.
And so you're making loans that people are stretching to afford, with higher interest rates, with longer loan terms, and they're borrowing more than the car's worth. Layer all those things on top of each other, and you're inviting delinquency and default.
This matters, says Kukla, because if people are defaulting on their car loans, they're more likely to default on other loans as well. I'm Adam Allington for Marketplace.
Over the past few months, the White House has collected hundreds of proposals for privatized infrastructure projects all around the country. The investigative team at APM Reports has put together a list of these projects, and Marketplace has teamed up with them to track which projects move forward and which don't. Tom Scheck with APM Reports met with some of the private investors that the president wants to play a bigger role in infrastructure in the U.S.
The White House has asked mayors, governors, and others for their infrastructure wish lists. That's common for any administration. What's different is Trump's team is also asking private firms what they want, what they'd invest in.
Welcome to the Blueprint 2025 Leadership Forum.
This is an infrastructure conference held just blocks from the White House last month. The host, private consulting firm CGLA Incorporated, and their clients pitched ideas to investors, contractors, and public officials. The pitches include privatized airports, roads, and more. Carlos Aguilar of Texas Central Partners wants to build the nation's first high-speed rail line connecting Houston and Dallas.
Distance is 240 miles between the fourth and fifth largest cities in the U.S., so the demand is there to be able to fund this on a private basis.
Meaning, we'll make money. That thinking is expected to be key in Trump's infrastructure plan. Norman Anderson is CEO of CGLA. He met privately with Trump's infrastructure team. He says they told him, pitch your project, and the White House will work to get it approved. Anderson says that has investors excited.
I think we could triple our level of investment in infrastructure without Congress writing a check.
But the whole reason Congress writes checks for infrastructure is that some projects need to get done and they don't offer a return on investment. Congressman John Faso is a Republican from New York. He says privatization can't solve every problem.
A lot of taxpayers think there's a magic wand. A lot of people think it's easy. It isn't.
If funding was easy, he says, projects would be done already. Critics of Trump's investor-driven approach worry about needed projects in low-income or rural areas. Those are a harder sell for investors, which means they might not get done. I'm Tom Scheck for Marketplace.
To see which projects are being pitched from your state, you can check out APM Report's map and database. It is at marketplace.org. Our senior producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Janet Wynn. Stephanie Hughes produces Marketplace Tech. And I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.